Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And happy new year. Welcome into Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and we've got plenty to cover when it comes to the NBA tonight, college basketball. Also, the final week of the NFL regular season is almost upon us. Much news on that front that we've got to get to. We also have a couple of games in the NHL with the puck to drop. We'll talk some NHL coming up. And we do have a national champion to crown in college football still. And, of course, with every new year brings a brand new PGA Tour season. So we got a little golf. We got a little football, some basketball. We got a little something for everybody here tonight on this now Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024. Still trying to let that sink in here. But we've got plenty of news from the NFL, and we'll start there. As we have four division crowns still up for grabs this week, five playoff spots still available, and of course, trying to manage the injury reports are going to be even more important in this week 18, especially in all of the big crucial games coming up here in a couple of days. Injuries are absolutely worth monitoring all throughout the week. Also worth monitoring what's going on with some of the teams that, well, quite honestly, have nothing to play for. For instance, we are getting multiple reports that Kansas City, the Chiefs, and Andy Reid, which I believe as far as I can throw Andy Reid, because as long as Andy Reid has been coaching, Andy Reid in these spots has never told the truth. As we welcome in our radio audience here on this Wednesday, January 3rd, Happy New Year. Joe Ranieri here, Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network, getting ready for a big night of college basketball, big night of NBA. Got a couple of NHL games. We've got plenty to discuss in the NFL here. Week 18 almost upon us. And of course, we still got to crown a national champion in college football. Let's not forget that. We got some new line movement in that Michigan and Washington national championship game coming up on Monday. We have got you covered here tonight on Game Time Decisions. But we were talking, of course, how you got to be careful in week 18 when it comes to betting it. And you got to be careful with how much you listen or believe when head coaches like Andy Reid or John Harbaugh talk. And Andy Reid, again, is one of the most misdirection head coaches in the history of the game. You do not believe Andy Reid when he tells you, like he did earlier today, that he plans on resting some, if not most, players against the Chargers this Sunday. Now, they are locked in to the number three seed here. They won the AFC West, although barely. But there is not a whole lot to play for. But some of the other games will decide this week as to, well, who would the Kansas City Chiefs be playing? Could it be the Dolphins? Or could it be, I mean, who knows, the Texans? Who is it that might be playing the Kansas City Chiefs? And I think at this point, the only thing they care about is that it is not the Baltimore Ravens. But Andy is telling us no, Patrick Mahomes. What does that mean? Well, that means Blaine Gabbert is going to get the start here. He has appeared in one game, I believe, this year, his first with the Kansas City Chiefs. He had great numbers, too, I believe. 31 yards, two interceptions, quality game. But really, his whole career has been quality since 2011, just under 10,000 yards, 51 touchdowns, equaled by the 49 interceptions he's also thrown out. So I would be a little cautious, though, with Andy Reid and buying the idea that nobody's playing. John Harbaugh also gave us that same spiel about, well, we'll have to play it. We'll see what happens here. Keep in mind here that while, yes, it may not affect what's going on for them, like the Ravens, who have solidified the number one spot, this is the Steelers we're talking about. So while, yes, you already have a bye, and also this year in the new format, don't forget, the bye means get an extra couple of weeks off. So I'm not sure that Harbaugh, who prides himself on taking every preseason game seriously, and he has admitted that, yeah, winning is a culture. We'll do everything we can. We don't play games to lose. We never play games to lose. Winning is contagious. I find it hard to believe that a guy that has set the record for the most consecutive wins in the preseason, games that truly mean nothing, would somehow or another just punt when he has an opportunity to beat his arch rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers. If this was literally any other team, the Ravens would be playing in Week 18. I might tend to think that, well, we'll probably not see anybody of any value. But this was the same spot they were in back in 2019. They did rest the starters in that final game. But don't forget, that was when the 1-2 seeds ended up having rest, having that bye week, and they had extra rest. This year, it's only the number one seed. So I don't know. It didn't work out for them in 2019, by the way, is because the next game they ended up getting bounced by the Tennessee Titans. But you gotta wonder here if we won't see more than just a couple of snaps from Lamar. Will it be, will any of the offensive starters, will Odell Beckham and his complement, will he be out there? I got to tend to believe there are going to be snaps and plays from the starters, a lot of starters, by the Baltimore Ravens. I do not under any circumstances seeing Harbaugh just rolling over for Tomlin and the Steelers to say, yeah, no problem, go ahead, kick us down. We're good. We're going to be good to go. It's a heated rivalry. Not buying it here, but you got to be careful. It's one of the big rules of handicapping Week 18 in the NFL. Do not assume a team won't try. The idea that Mike Vrabel, for instance, will just not care about winning a game because his team has nothing to play for, no postseason. Did anybody catch the Vrabel interview after they lost embarrassingly over the weekend to the Houston Texans? Does Mike Vrabel strike you as a head coach that thinks he cares about draft stock or where they might land? No.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide children's marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide children's marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Don't assume a team is not going to try under any circumstances just because the game may not mean anything as far as the postseason goes. Doesn't mean it's going to mean nothing to the coaches, to the players, and for a number of other teams in that situation. We'll talk a lot about that coming up over the next hour. We got plenty of college basketball getting ready to tip off, as well as NBA. We'll dive into it here next on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri joined by the man, the coach, James Young in the house here on is a loaded night here in both college basketball and the NBA here, coach. So happy new year. Pleasure to see you, my man. And love that college basketball really in full effect right now with, you know, conference games raring to go here over the next couple of months. And maybe none bigger than I'm going to be interesting to see Providence coming in at what? The number 23 team here in the country, 11-2 on the season, taking on Seton Hall. Boy, that's a big number, coach. They're laying 7 there. Starting to see some 6.5 show up as well. What are you thinking about Providence and St. John's here?
You know, this is going to be an intriguing matchup, because if you're going to look at Seton Hall, like, which team are you going to look at? The team that struggles on the road or the team that beat UConn at home decisively? Now, do remember, that is when Donovan Clingan went out. And I do believe UConn was in the lead when he got hurt, and the game just completely flipped on its head. But Shaheen Holloway and Ryan Whalen has done a good job. But I'll tell you right now, Joe, is there a more difficult place of people that they don't talk about than going to the dunk? And if you don't know where the dunk is, that is where Providence plays. And the amazing thing is, let's give a shout out to Kim English. Kim English, the new head coach at Providence, took over for Ed Cooley, but Ed Cooley went to Georgetown. It's going to take Ed Cooley a little bit of time to get them turned around, by the way. But the key thing is, I was talking to Jeff Goodman about this on the podcast, you just saw him released tomorrow, is Kim did a good job of keeping his kids. Meaning, Cooley's kids didn't leave. He kept a lot of them. The dunk is a really tough place to play. If this was at the Rock, I would take Seton Hall. But because it's at the dunk, and it's always a tough place to play, Seton Hall 1-2 against the spread the last 3 road games. Give me the Providence Friars -6.5 tonight.
Ooh, Providence here tonight, getting it. It is one of the, and it's always been one of the toughest places to play here. So that game coming up here, guys, top of the hour, getting ready to get tipped off here. I think it's going to be a good one. In fact, I'm sorry, bottom of the hour, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time will be the tip there. Take us on down the card here, coach. What's your next game you're going to look at here in the next half hour to 40 minutes?
You know, really good matchup that people may not know about is High Point at Radford. High Point's a very good and very dangerous team going against a Radford team that's been a little inconsistent. Their last performance was a terrible one at Clemson. We'll talk about Clemson more next hour, but Radford has gone on the road and played Clemson, West Virginia, and James Madison, and two of those three games that were competitive in the game against West Virginia, they actually won in Morgantown. They're saying Huggy Bears, West Virginia Mountaineers, but it's still at West Virginia. Because it's such a short spread, I'm going to take Radford on the money line to win. Give me Radford.
Ooh, going there. All right, Radford it is there, taking on High Point. What about Ohio State Rutgers, Coach? A little Big Ten action. Chris Holtman finally, I think, figured it out here. It's been a down couple of seasons for him at Ohio State. Are you buying them here, laying the 8.5 tonight?
I buy them winning the game. I just don't buy them winning by 9-plus points. Here's why. Pikel, as much as anybody in the country, will slow the game down to a halt. And he will grind your gears, and he will get you to turn the ball over, and he'll get you to take bad shots. The problem with Rutgers is that they can't score. Like, that's why they went and got Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. But they're not there till next year. But for this year, remember, Rutgers has covered the last three times they played Ohio State. We remember the game last year, folks. You don't remember, that's a play when the kid stepped out of bounds. They couldn't review it. They hit the three at the buzzer. Rutgers loses by one. And could have been one of the reasons why Rutgers did not make the NCAA tournament. Although Chris Holtzman's done a great job this year, they're not as battle-tested as people think. I like Ohio State. I like this team. I just think it's too many points. Give me the Rutgers Scarlet Knights plus the 8.5.
All right, getting down and dirty there with a big Ohio, Big Ten rather matchup there, Ohio State and Rutgers. All right, those games coming up shortly, Coach. Also coming up shortly in the NBA, we got a couple of interesting early tips. But I, you know, listen, you tell me as a coach, after you play a team 2, 3, 4 times in a season in a short period of time, do you eventually figure some things out, and maybe it's a little bit lower scoring than some people think? Because in Milwaukee and Indiana, we're almost at 260 again with these two teams. And how many times have they played already here, Coach? Can't you by accident trip a dude up and get under 260?
I don't know. I mean, if you take Giannis's ball, he gets 60 tonight. He may try to trip you up again. Joe, it's funny. I was just saying this to Carver High last hour. This is the rivalry to NBA that no one expected, and I absolutely love it. Milwaukee, Indiana, two more irrelevant like cities than Indianapolis and Milwaukee. Don't tell anybody I said that. But anyway, this is an interesting matchup tonight. And for me, I'm going to go and do something that I hate doing, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to the big man, Brook Lopez, over 18.5 points plus rebounds, gone over 9 of his last 15 games. He has gone over 5 out of the last 7 versus Indiana, and the games he's gone over, 25, 21, 29, 24 this year, his 3-9 ones he missed, and then 26 two nights ago, stretch 5, has the rebound versus one of the better rebounders in Miles Turner. I think this is a big spot for a Bucks team that is 1-3 against, Indiana. The only win they had is when Giannis dropped the 60-piece and he had to run into the locker room to get the ball. We still don't know if he got the right ball or not, but that's not important here. But I do like Brook Lopez here, and this is a big spot for a Bucks team. Let's be honest, Joe. They struggle to defend quick guards, especially point guards. Haliburton, Brunson have both torched them this year. I don't know if they get enough stops, but I think they get the win. And I like Brook to go 18.5 points plus rebounds.
Yeah, they can't. Well, it was some amount of time, I guess, before Milwaukee started to regress a little bit from the three-point shots. I mean, that's kind of been their issue here lately. If you keep chucking them up, eventually, I guess, they'll fall in or not fall in. But should be a fun one here tonight. The only other early game, I think, before 8 o'clock we got here, Coach, in the association, we'll cover the later games coming up here, is the Wizards and Cavs. Did you like anything in that one?
I did not like Wizards Cavs, but I think one other game that's that is going to tip off before 8 o'clock is Oklahoma City Atlanta. This is an intriguing matchup of an Atlanta team that's god awful defensively versus a team in Oklahoma City that's going to push the pace. It's 240.5. I think it actually may go over, but the play I like, DeJounte Murray over 4.5 assists. Seems low. He's missed it 4 straight games. Hit it 56 out of 80 last year. 19 out of 32 this year. But like I said, missed it 4 straight. 6 assists game earlier this year versus Oklahoma City. If we get points and we get a ton of possessions, that's more opportunity for DeJounte Murray to get assists. The games he missed it, 4 against Memphis, Chicago, 3 Sacramento, 3 Washington. This is a big spot for him tonight. DeJounte Murray, over 4.5 assists.
Expecting to get it going. Second of a back-to-back there for OKC and a war last night.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Against Boston should be an interesting one, but man, oh man, not great for Atlanta so far this year. All right, coach, get out of here. We'll see you again in an hour. Talk some late night basketball. Game Time Decisions continues here on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Can't believe it. 2024 is here. And like we had said, not only is it a new year, but it means it's a new PGA Tour golf season as well. And looking forward to getting that first tournament up on the tee box here shortly. And who better than Brady Cannon to dive into some golf with this great, by the way, great tournament. It's always fun out in Hawaii. Wasn't great to us. You and I were crying a little bit about the Morikawa meltdown just a year ago here in this tournament. But I guess maybe the good thing is we don't have to worry about, I don't know, any John Rahm showing up anytime soon. But how are you, Brady? Happy New Year. And talk to me about this this first tournament to kick the year off.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well, Joe. Great to be talking golf again. And I'm right there with you. I love kicking off the season at Kapalua. I've actually played this course a handful of times. It's just an absolutely gorgeous property. All the guys kind of feel relaxed a little bit as they just kind of ease into their season, you know, on the islands. It's a great place to start things off. And admittedly, I take it easy here the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, kind of like a preseason in football for me out of the gate. I don't risk as much. I don't bet. I don't make as many bets. I really go, you know, full-fledged when we get to Torrey Pines in La Jolla, California. So I like to use these first four or five tournaments to kind of get a feel for what the new year is all about, see if anything's changed in the last couple months. You know, a lot of guys in this field, 59 guys in the field, no cut. A lot of guys haven't played in six out of the last 8 weeks or so. This course, one of the strongest part of my handicap was going with some of the correlated courses, courses where we see a lot of crossover success with Kapalua. And oddly enough, Augusta National, the Masters, you see a ton of players do well at both properties. John Rahm, you mentioned Rahm, a winner at both places. Cameron Smith has done tremendous at Augusta, won here at Kapalua the year before. Colin Morikawa, great at Augusta and Kapalua. I mean, the list goes on. Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, guys that have won at both places. Also, Riviera has a strong connection. The old course at St. Andrews, and then a little bit of Silverado and Napa. And I think a lot of it is because of wide fairways, especially Augusta, wide fairways, hilly terrain, big greens. You know, that's what you see here at Kapalua. Even though the Masters tournament results, you know, it's much more difficult. They're much different results. And this is really a birdie fest, but the way the course sets up is very similar. And you see the same guys attack it year in and year out. And I mentioned a lot of these guys have been off for, you know, more than a month or so. So the stats that you look at probably don't carry as much weight as they might, you know, as when we're into the heart of the season and guys are playing every other week or what have you. So I leaned pretty heavily on the correlated courses angle this week and came up with four guys, went to the top of the board and took Scottie Scheffler. You know, if you look at a normal 156-player field, Scheffler's going to be about 8-1. Well, you cut the field in more than half the size, and he's still almost 6-1. So I took a stab with him, the number one player in the world. He hasn't been lights out here, but he hasn't been awful. He's won at Augusta, of course, and he's played well at both Riviera and St. Andrews. So I thought he made some sense at what is a pretty decent price for the shortest shot in the field. And then I went down a little lower. I'm doing it to myself again. I took Colin Morikawa, Joe, and I think he can bounce back. You know, I mean, this guy has played tremendous at Riviera, tremendous at Augusta, and he's obviously played well here. And he's obviously got some unfinished business. It's something to prove maybe. So I think Morikawa will be in the mix again. And then I went with two other longer shots, Cameron Young, who's played tremendous at St. Andrews, a second place finish there, a second place finish at Riviera, and another top 10 at Augusta, got him at 48-1. And then Sahith Theegala, you know, has a top 10 at Augusta and also a win at Silverado, a little bit of a connection to Silverado and Napa where they play the Fortinet. And Theegala, a big hitter, great putter. I think he's got the skill set. You know, can he, you know, best some of the best players in the world that are in this field? I think he's capable. So that's the four pack there, a couple of short shots and a couple of long shots to get us started at Kapalua in 2024.
Yeah, going to be real fun to get it back on TV, following along, some maybe live betting opportunities as well. So it's good to have golf back. But you mentioned as well, Brady, it's caution here, first tournament out of the gate, since we have no idea who's been, you know, sitting behind the buffet and who's actually been on the practice green here. I guess maybe we can take the same approach here in week 18 of the NFL. You know, slow down. A lot of assumptions are the mistakes that people make this time of year, where they just assume teams are packing it in, don't want to win. Tough to assume anything here in week 18 with these guys.
It's a tough week to handicap. Now, sometimes games jump out that I think can be a pretty easy handicap, but there's so many unknowns, like you mentioned. You've got, you know, in the case of the 49ers and the Rams, and there's probably a couple other games, you've got two teams that have nothing to play for. And so, you know, Brock Purdy's not going to, I mean, it's Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold. What do you do with that? How much is Debo going to play? And, you know, McCaffrey's not going to play, I don't think, a lick. He's got a slight calf strain, which I think is going to be fine. And he'll be ready once the playoffs begin. But, you don't know what to make of a game like that. Then you have a game, you know, that's somewhat normal, and it could happen any week, like the Texans and the Colts. That's there's nothing going on there. No funny business there. They're playing for all the marbles in the AFC South. And then you have other games where one team's just playing for pride. Who knows? They might be setting up tee times out here in Las Vegas, or they might be playing for a job, and the other side is in a must-win situation. So there's three or four different scenarios on the card this week, and you're right. Take your time. Be patient, listen to the coach reports, and then there's that too. Can you believe these coaches in week 18? Who's going to start? Who's going to sit? There's also incentives. Players have incentives in their contract. I think this one's really interesting. One of the plays I'm on is the Tennessee Titans, and this is the scenario where you have the Jacksonville Jaguars in a must-win situation, and we know about that. It's you must not be that good if you're in that situation. And I think the Jaguars are above average, but they're not great. And if they lose this game, they go home. On the other hand, you got Mike Vrabel, you know, coming off an ugly loss. I think he wants to finish strong. I think they want to put up a good performance. They're at home. They're an underdog. I think they're going to be playing for pride here. And I talk about the player incentives in their contract. DeAndre Hopkins, an extra $250,000 if he gets 75 receptions. He's currently at 68. Another $250,000 if he gets to 1,050 receiving yards, and he's currently at 1,011. And then finally, another $250,000 if he gets to 8 touchdown catches, and he's currently at 6. So 750,000 reasons for Hopkins to show up here, Joe. I think this team, I could absolutely see Jacksonville winning the game, but I don't see him getting it done by more than a field goal.
Yeah, that's a big ask here, especially since, and you got to love, I mean, a lot of people are going to get ready for Miami and Buffalo, right? That's going to be the game. But the interesting part is this game means way more to Buffalo, because when by the time that game kicks off, if Jacksonville had won and Pittsburgh had won, that means if Buffalo loses, they're out of the playoffs. So this, you know, by the time that game comes Sunday night, the pressure could be a million times for Buffalo, where you got to win on the road, which they haven't been great at. So the way this all plays out, there could be a lot more at stake for Buffalo than there is Miami by a long stretch here when this game gets ready to kick off Sunday night.
You know what, Joe, that's a really interesting scenario that you bring up, and not every book will allow you to do this, but that would be, in my estimation, termed a correlated parlay. You take Pittsburgh and you take Jacksonville on the money line and you pair it with the Buffalo Bills. You figure Pittsburgh has a good shot to win that game. We know, you know, Lamar Jackson is not going to play. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of starters rested for the Baltimore Ravens. Jacksonville, like I just said, I'm not necessarily betting on them to cover the spread, but I think they probably do find a way to win. And if that happens, Buffalo knows what's in front of them. And Miami, you know, they want to win the division, obviously. They have a lot to play for, but they're very banged up. Raheem Mostert, Xavien Howard, you know, Bradley Chubb, of course, now out for this team for the rest of the season. You know, Tyreek Hill, is he still smarting a little bit with the ankle? Jaylen Waddle. You know, I make Buffalo the side in this game. If it were ever to dip under a field goal, I think you absolutely jump on the Bills here. But you're right, on the road, laying a field goal to a very solid Dolphins team, it's a tough spot. But it might be worth a risk on that correlated parlay. I could absolutely see all three of those teams winning.
Any chance you look at Carolina to beat Tampa this week?
Well, I tell you what, there is a chance, and I've also thought about it going the other way and figure the Buccaneers just hammer Carolina, because Carolina's had their moments. They had a couple weeks there where they showed up. They showed up against Green Bay. You know, they beat the Atlanta Falcons, and then they laid an egg last week when I thought they'd come out and play again. So, you know, I think there's something to be said about laying it with the Buccaneers. But I've also seen about 85% of the bets are on Tampa Bay. And we know what usually happens when that's the case. So I'm probably going to stay away from that game, as I can make a case for either side. And not a whole lot of a case for the Carolina Panthers other than, you know, the lopsided ledger at the sports books.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see how many of the Carolina Panther fans get drenched when the owner throws a drink on them when their team fails to score there. Brady Cannon, a pleasure, my man. Good luck with the plays this week. Game Time Decisions returns after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Happy Wednesday to you. Plenty going on today as we've got a loaded slate of NBA games. We got tip-off here in a couple of minutes, top of the hour, a whole new slew of games in college hoops, couple of NHL games, but we got week 18 in the NFL, and oh yeah, we still got to crown a champion here in college football, and in one of the most anticipated national championship games coming up, it's going to be interesting. Michigan taking on Washington, and a man that cashed a few tickets there on Michigan this past week, Mark Zinno stepping up here. And Zin, happy new year to you. I know you were you loved Michigan there against Bama. It worked out. It was a finally two quality semifinal games were great. It makes all the other crap we had to endure all bowl season worth it, because if I have to watch Iowa play football one more time, I'm going to throw up. But they get it done. Not a whole lot of craziness with the line movement here. What were you thinking when Michigan won? Who did you think they would be playing? Were you big on Washington, or did you think maybe Texas was going to be the opponent here?
Well, for me, it was Washington or pass. And I, you know, I wasn't going to step in front of Washington again, a team that I had faded for 2 months straight just because they were laying these huge double-digit numbers. And it didn't, you know, they weren't that much better than everybody else to be laying double digits. That said, you know, it's hard. It was hard to step in front of them getting points there. So I wasn't really, you know, somebody who had a real feel for that game one way or another. So I got to sat back and watch it barely. Pretty stress-free for the most part. I was rather surprised that Texas's defense didn't play better. Mm. Like, they had a considerably better defense than Washington, and it just felt like they never really were able to get in a position where they could slow down Washington's offense. Remember, they got a free touchdown off a punt fumble. You know, I mean, that was, you know, one of their scores came off of that, that if that guy catches a punt, they might not score that touchdown. The game might not even be that close. So I was also kind of surprised, and I don't know if I should be because it's Steve Sarkisian, and I don't say that necessarily as a pejorative per se, but he's kind of come up small in some of these big moments. But you got a bottom 20 pass defense in the country, and you didn't unleash Quinn Ewers until the second half. Like, I get that you were moving the ball on the ground, but, you know, I mean, take advantage of what the other team doesn't do well, and that's defend the pass. And I just, you know, thought it was a little bit questionable that they didn't try to get these guys and take more shots down the field against a pass defense that had a lot of holes in it. So I think that probably did that to their detriment. I mean, in reality, again, they were never really behind by more than one score, so they didn't necessarily have to sort of push the pace. But that aggressiveness, I think, that served them so well and got them to where they were was sort of on reserve in the semifinal.
Yeah, and of course Johnson, the running back for Washington, questionable here with the injury in the second half in that game, which is not great for Washington. But I got to believe, if we're thinking, the thing that stuck out to me when this line opened, I'm like, in what world is a Michigan game hitting 55 points? Like, what? It's, if you like Michigan, you got to be looking at the under, because Michigan's not going to want to get into a firefight with Washington under any circumstances. They're going to want to hold the ball. They're going to want to grind that defense down and take advantage that way. I don't see how the hell we're getting over 55.5 points in this game.
Well, let me present this to you. I mean, from a game script standpoint, like, if I'm Michigan, what I want to do is get out to a 2-score lead and then be able to grind the pace down. But they're not going to be able to get out to a 2-score lead if they don't push the pace early on and score. Like, I would argue this, Joe, that as much as you don't want to get into a shootout with Washington, I don't think a shootout is possible given Michigan's defense. However, if Michigan is only scoring 20, 23 points in this game, I don't like the position that they're in. Like, the last thing I want if I'm Michigan is to have a 1-score lead in the fourth quarter of this game with Washington having the ball, getting a chance to move down the field. Like, I don't know if that serves Michigan well to be in a low-scoring game, because that means generally it's going to be a 1-score game, unless somehow it's like 17-0, and I don't think you're shutting Washington out. Like, you could slow them down, but you're not going to completely shut them out and shut them down. So I would tend to think here that the over actually favors Michigan getting closer to 30 and keeping Washington in the low 20s. And I think that's the game script that they want to play here. If it's a low-scoring game, that means Michigan is not scoring, and that's going to be a problem, because if you want to beat Washington, guess what? You're going to have to put up points. Like, that's just the reality. Like, I don't think Michigan can win this game 20-13 or 20-17. That's not a game script that makes sense to me, because Washington, is as much as they have problems on the defensive end, you know, they're still going to be able to get theirs. And if you can't take advantage of this Washington defense, if you can't move the ball down the field on a bad Washington defense, things are going sideways for Michigan. So I would tend to think it's the opposite here. I know that we always say the over and the favorite go together, the dog and the under go together. But in this case, the favorite being Michigan in a high-scoring game, or at least getting somewhere to 50 where they're winning this thing 30-23, you know, 30-27 kind of looks a lot more of a viable option here to me than necessarily a game that stays under the total.
And special teams are going to be very interesting in that game as well, because yeah, somebody's got to catch a punt or two, and somebody's got to make a field goal. I mean, they didn't want to kick a lot of those there, Washington, in the game against Texas, because they didn't have to. They just converted everything into a touchdown. But if this defense is as good as advertised, without a running game, Washington might very well become very one-dimensional. So it's going to be interesting to see where it lands, number one, before kickoff, because I don't think we've seen the crazy line movement just yet. I do think that the money will become rolling in as we get a little bit closer. And heck, Harbaugh and Kalen DeBoer, which is hysterical about this, is they're going to be conference partners next year. They're going to be playing each other in the Big Ten, which is about as crazy as it gets here. I'm still on not being able to wrap my head around what is coming up in the Big Ten there, and thinking that Washington and Michigan are going to become a rivalry is kind of crazy, but I guess that's how it happens here. What are we doing week 18? Did anything stick out to you here in the NFL? Any particular games you were looking at?
Yeah, let me just add one more thing here on Michigan. Here's the one of the part of the game script that, you know, for me is the biggest concern. And I laid 3.5 for Michigan. I jumped on it right away because I think the line was short. That said, my biggest concern is that Michael Penix is one of the least sack quarterbacks in the country. His sack percentage is one of the best in the nation for Washington, because he's really hard to bring down. Now, we saw what Michigan was able to do up front against Alabama. Now, Alabama doesn't have a great offensive line, and they're one of the more sacked teams in the country. But If they can't get Michael Penix on the ground and he can scramble around on third and long and turn third and nine into a first down and keep the chains moving, that's going to be the one area where Michigan really is going to end up struggling if they can't get off the field. So they're going to have to get to Michael Penix and bring him down, which hasn't exactly been an easy task for teams to do. That's my biggest concern for the Wolverines in this game. Now, on to week 18. There's a couple of games I will look at, and just to remind everybody, the idea of must win is already baked into the line, right? Like, and teams that have nothing to play for, it's already baked into the line. So you don't have to worry about the line dictating that. It's already there. I think the Packers win in cover at home against the Bears. Do we really believe the Bears are this good? And the Bears, who have won four out of the last five, have done it against some pretty putrid teams in Atlanta and Carolina and Arizona. Like, this is not exactly a Bears team that I believe goes out there and is better than Green Bay. Green Bay, you know, went on that big run because their defense played well, and then they stunk it up for 2 weeks against Tampa Bay and the Giants, and you know they fell back to the pack here. But the defense seems to have come on in the last couple of games, and I think that's actually going to get them done and get to a playoff spot. The other game that I'm looking at right now, believe it or not, is the Dallas Cowboys over the Commanders in the first half here. There are sevens out there. I won't lay 7.5, Jake. Remember, Dallas, again, obviously they win this game, they win the NFC East. I think there's a propensity for them to let their foot off the gas pedal late, especially if they want to start pulling their guys and they're up big and you know, you have playing against reserves like you do in a preseason game. But Dallas knows they got to get out to an early lead. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the first half, one of the highest scoring teams in general in all of football here. Give me Cowboys -7 in the first half to take an early lead here against a Washington team that I don't think is all that interested in anything but getting the #2 overall draft pick and securing it for purposes of, hey, either we're going to trade this thing away for major capital or we're going to go out and select the next player that we need to help rebuild our franchise, because for all accounts right now, they're cleaning house in Washington. Everybody's getting fired after this game is over. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was a mandate from above that that basically said, hey, don't win the game. Don't look like you're trying to lose the game. Certainly don't win the game kind of deal. So if that's a thing we believe that happens in the NFL with a new owner and a guy who wants to reestablish his franchise, it wouldn't shock me if the mandate came from the ownership saying, do not win this game. Do not win this game. Like, hey, you know, we're not going to start our best people in this game here. We'll take some, our veterans will get the final week of the regular season off, and we're going to mail this one in.
So did you, it's an interesting scenario we were just talking about Sunday night with Buffalo and Miami, kind of, you know, winner wins the AFC East, you know, we'll get, looks like the #2 seed. But the problem is, if Pittsburgh wins and Jacksonville win, then Buffalo has to win because they won't get in if they lose to Miami. So it could very well be, for all the marbles there, for Buffalo here. Were you leaning one way or the other, or do you think there's no way Steelers and Jacksonville win regardless?
Well, the Ravens will not lay down for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is absolutely not happening. John Harbaugh is not walking into a game against the Steelers and saying, go ahead, you guys have this one, we don't need it. I remember last year, week 18, they started Tyler Huntley. Remember all the consternation about Lamar Jackson? And they almost went out and beat the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati with Tyler Huntley. So this is not exactly a team that is unfamiliar with the idea of, hey, we're going to start our backups, and yet we're still going to be really close. And oh, by the way, in case anybody hasn't noticed, Pittsburgh's and their offense is bad. So the Ravens don't necessarily have to exert a lot of force to keep this game close and make it competitive for 60 minutes. So they're not laying down. And Jacksonville isn't exactly a lock to go into Tennessee and win a game. You know, Tennessee hasn't won a division game yet this year. And Mike Vrabel, for all the rumors that are flying around about him, end up, you know, being somewhere else, whether it's New England to take over Bill Belichick or even Ohio State. Don't leave that out of the mix here. Mike Vrabel going back to Ohio State would not surprise me at all when it's all said and done. But this is a Tennessee team that's going to play tough. They're going to play prepared. And I don't think they're necessarily by any stretch of the imagination, especially if Will Levis is under center. This is not a young quarterback here who's got the luxury of saying, I don't need to play my best football at this point in time. I'm going to be the starter next year. We don't know that yet. So if Will Levis wants to do anything to make his mark on being the starter next year, he's going to need to have a good game against a bad pass defense in Jacksonville, pretty banged up as well.
Yeah, and I can't think of a team I trust less this week than the Eagles. What's the one team you trust less than anything this week?
one team I trust less. Maybe it's the Falcons and the Saints in a game where they both need, maybe they both need Tampa Bay to lose to Carolina. But, dear Lord, like, that game, let me tell you exactly what to do with that game, Joe. Take the first half under 21.5 and don't even worry.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Watching the second half because both of those offenses are bad. All the quarterbacks involved in that are bad. The coaching matchup isn't exactly stellar, but both of these defenses and it's a division game, so I don't expect them to take this game lightly one way or another.
I can't think of a more it's going to be very interesting because those both games are going on at the same time, so it might be a good live betting opportunity as well. Zinno, appreciate it. Good luck. GDD comes back here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions as we look to wrap up this first hour here on the Sports Grid Network. Much still to come as we get ready for opening tip-off in a number of college basketball games. Some big matchups here tonight, as usually the first of the new year is a good indicator on how college basketball will eventually take over the world right through March. And some great matchups coming up here tonight, including the University of Miami, hosting Clemson tonight. Big problems with injuries for the University of Miami. And Clemson, man, they could very well be the team to beat this year in the ACC. That's a big, big matchup here tonight. And that is just about a pick 'em price right now. We're seeing Clemson at -1 as they get ready to tip off just after I believe 8 o'clock is when that game is coming up. 155.5 is the total there. Both these teams are not afraid to shoot the three. However, Poplar there for Miami, their leading scorer, really, their best scorer on that team, is out tonight with an ankle injury. Nigel Pack has missed the last couple of games with an injury, and he, too, is a go, but less than 100%. So definitely worth keeping an eye on that. I would suggest if you like Clemson, make a bet sooner rather than later here. And if you like Miami, no need to rush. This might actually go up another point and a half before tip-off here in just about an hour. Clemson, we got some Big East action going on right now, too, with Seton Hall and Providence. Providence up 22-16 at home. What about 7 minutes ago in the first half? So some great, great college hoops action. We got a couple of games tipping off in the NBA. And we've got you covered all hour long coming up. We'll give you some more best bets. We'll talk a little NHL as well as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.